Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Disabled Persons Assembly Notable Radio Show. A whole new attitude coming your way on Otago Access Radio. DPA is the voice of all disabled people, whether the disability be physical, sensory, learning, psychosocial or age-related. Tune in to hear how we can work collaboratively to achieve inclusion for all New Zealanders. DPA's Notable Radio Show, every second Friday afternoon at 1:30 on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM and 1575 AM.
Kia ora, good afternoon and welcome to Disabled Persons Assembly Dunedin and District's Notable Radio for this Friday, 18th of October 2019. Hope you're all having a good time out there in this wonderful spring weather we've been having. It's been a bit up and down, but nonetheless it's been quite good on the odd day. Today, as promised on our last show, we have a guest in the studio, and I have the very unique privilege and pleasure of welcoming Disability Rights Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission, Paula Tosolio, to the program. Kia ora, Paula.
Kia ora, Chris.
Kia ora, and yes, welcome to the program. It's been a while getting you on the show, but finally we're here. Anyway, to begin with, tell us a bit about your disability journey and as to the background you come from.
Thanks, Chris. So, really pleased to be doing this interview. Tell you my disability journey. I'm an amputee, and I also have, in addition to a prosthetic leg on one side, my other leg below the knee was formed a little differently than other legs, and so it has no movement in the ankle or toes, so very limited mobility below the knee on that leg, and I'm missing a few fingers. So I arrived into the world with a number of complications and had a huge number of surgeries over the years, as I know many disabled people do, in order to increase mobility and reduce pain and help me along the way, and that resulted in an amputation and various other surgeries along the way. So when I was young, you know, lots of my memories really in those early years were all about being in hospital. And as I was growing up, being disabled was not really part of my identity. I thought of disability as something that made me stand out and it made me different. And when I was little, I really wanted to just be like everyone else at school and like other kids in the street. So I really did not have disability as part of my identity. And in fact, I was quite deliberate in excluding it from my identity through my teenage years and very early 20s. And then I took up competitive cycling, and my goal towards being a Paralympic athlete meant that, you know, I had to own that identity of being disabled. And that was really, I think, my journey to understanding myself and really being proud of that identity of being disabled. And it's made me so much more authentic and genuine and able to do the job that I'm in. And, you know, through those years of that self-discovery had firmed up in my mind that, you know, I want to spend a good chunk of my life focused on advancing New Zealand to become a less disabling society. So, like many, you know, started out as a young person who didn't claim that identity but very much proud of that identity now. And so my background I guess, professionally is I studied law and politics at Victoria University in Wellington after growing up on the beautiful Kapiti Coast. Mm-hmm. And I practiced law in a private law firm for a few years and then moved into the public sector and held some senior management roles there over the years. And I was a Paralympic cyclist for a good, I suppose I was involved in cycling for sort of 10 to 15 years. And when I retired from cycling, I really wanted to put back into the sport and disability community because the Paralympic movement had given me so much, you know, including helping me understand my identity as a disabled person. So I got involved in a number of sport and disability-related organisations at the governance level, and that really whetted my appetite to do a role like the one that I'm in now.
Absolutely. You've gone through many of the duties that other disabled people such as myself have gone through in discovering our identity through time and through experience as well. Anyway, now, what does the Disability Commissioner do within the Human Rights Commission?
So my role is a statutory role which has authority through the Human Rights Act of 1993. And essentially the role is to protect and promote the rights of disabled New Zealanders. And for the most part, that's done through advocacy on a range of fronts. So on any given day, it might be advocacy through meeting with local government or central government officials, ministers, members of parliament, the business community. It might be speaking at conferences, making submissions on legislation before the House, speaking to the media about particular issues. So a real range of advocacy. There's also, under the Human Rights Act, I have the power to undertake an inquiry, which is slightly different than advocacy in the first instance. It's about, you know, if there's something which concerns me enough that I want to undertake a formal inquiry into, then the powers to do that exist. So the role also encompasses a degree of governance over the Human Rights Commission. So there are four commissioners: race relations, equal employment opportunities, disability, and our chief commissioner. And we have a collective responsibility to govern the Human Rights Commission. So there's a certain degree of working on the organisation in this role, but primarily my role is all about advancing the rights of disabled New Zealanders. And as listeners will know, there's no shortage of issues to be advocating on and to be, you know, really, really trying to create a difference in New Zealand. So it's a very busy role, but a great role.
No doubt it is. And I've seen some of your media work as well, and you're speaking out on many of the key issues. Now, what sort of influence or sway do you have with politicians and government officials over disability issues and their human rights implications?
I think, you know, governments of the day have a respect for and a general understanding of their international obligations, and, you know, part of that is making sure that our government complies with conventions like the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And so I find that ministers and officials are always happy to meet with me. I don't think I've ever really faced a situation where I haven't been able to progress a meeting. So I think there's a high degree of respect for the role and an awareness and an acknowledgement that my role can help the government meet its international and domestic obligations. So as I mentioned before, there's a range of ways in which I do that. You know, most of my work is behind the scenes. So often what people will see is what I might put on social media or what I speak to the media about. But most of this job is working day in, day out, trying to influence primarily government officials and ministers to make sure that the rights of disabled people are front and centre in policy design and service design, and that the government is meeting its obligations to disabled people.
Obviously, yes. What disability-related issues has the Commission been tackling recently? What have been the outcomes from those discussions so far, if any?
So, since I came into the role, I've been really clear about the key priority areas. And when I came in, I looked at a number of things to help inform those priorities. I looked at the complaints that come through the inquiries and complaints part of the commission, and you know, nearly half our complaints relate to disability, and of those complaints, most relate to education and employment. I also looked at previous reports from the UN that identified where New Zealand could do better, and I listened to community groups and DPOs, disabled people's organisations, and just tried to listen as much as possible. And when I put all that into the melting pot, I came out with some top priority areas, which some have projects attached to and some relate to ongoing strategic advocacy. So education is one of my top priorities, and so for the last 2 years I've worked very closely on just about every aspect of the education reforms, providing submissions, speaking at Ministry of Education leadership meetings, meetings with ministers, meetings with school trustees, teacher unions, principals, schools, you name it, I have met far and wide in the education sector to really try and influence the shape and the nature of these reforms to ensure that the outcomes that young disabled people currently face in our education system, which are simply not good enough, can improve. Another area, another key priority area is around attitudes. So, you know, and I'm speaking to an audience who well understands how attitudes can be pretty negative in this space, and I'm convinced through what I've seen in my role that unless we can change attitudes towards disability and disabled people, I don't think we will make the step change we need in New Zealand. So I commissioned some research last year around attitudes, and we'll be releasing that before Christmas this year. And we're also scoping up what a national conversation around disability might look like, which draws not only on that research, but actually primarily on all the anecdote that, you know, we all have, and you know, the outcomes that disabled people face across a range of areas, to my mind, is indicative that our attitudes need to change. So that's a big focus area. Employment is another key priority area. We've been working with our IMM, so that's the Independent Monitoring Mechanism, who oversees monitoring compliance with the CRPD, working with them on employment initiatives as well as with the Office for Disability Issues. We were part of a design day, where a number of people in the disability sector and business sector came together and came up with ideas on how we could approach employment differently, and a number of activities came out of that, some of which I have responsibility for. Another big issue on my radar has been data. So I've been very involved in a tripartite group involving the Human Rights Commission, Stats NZ, and the Office for Disability Issues. It also has DPOs and others on it. And our focus has been on identifying gaps in the data that we need to truly understand our population much better.
Mm.
And we've made progress in that, and Cabinet have agreed to recommendations around how data collection at the government agency level can be improved. One of the other things that was not a priority when I came into the role, but is worth mentioning, is violence and abuse towards disabled people. And the reason that that has now become a priority for me to address is through the stories that I've heard, through the submissions that primarily disabled women made to the Commission as part of a series of hui we undertook around our compliance with the International Convention on Elimination Against Discrimination of Women. And the international evidence that we have around violence towards disabled people, and you know, you overlay that in the New Zealand context with our own sort of experience of family violence, has caused me to have that now as a key focus area. So I'm scoping some work at the moment around what I might do about that. So I could probably, you know, talk all day, but I think I'll finish that question just by saying that, you know, some of those things I talked about are quite big chunky pieces and have projects attached to them. But then on a, you know, daily, weekly basis, there's strategic advocacy across things like access to information, transport, accessible cities, working with local government, housing, access to health, all those things that are critically important to us. And that's where a lot of my advocacy work occurs as well.
That sounds a very, very long list, and it doesn't end there, as I know and everybody else in the disability community knows, most certainly. Anyway, we are coming towards the end of the program, and the two last questions I have for you are, what do you think the Commission's role is in helping to create and shape a non-disabling inclusive society?
Well, I think we have a role alongside other organisations like DPOs, with government as well. But, you know, we've got a clear role in raising awareness of disability, making sure that we are advocating strongly to decision makers about how to remove barriers for disabled people. And you know, we will always do that better in collaboration with others, but I think we have a very key role.
Absolutely. And finally, what do you see as the future for disabled people in Aotearoa from where you sit now? What are the opportunities and challenges that present themselves to you?
I think we have, I'm always optimistic, Chris. I think we've got a really positive future, but it will mean us working in collaboration. So I would like to see the disability sector grow even stronger and stronger as a unified voice, so that we're a force to be reckoned with. And certainly in my time in the role, I'm seeing that you know, evolving really well. I think we're also at an interesting time where central government and local government are starting to now see the benefits and the obligations of having us at the table. And so I often, in fact very frequently, get calls from agencies who want to involve disabled people in their work. And, you know, that just didn't happen some years ago. And so I think the whole notion of nothing about us without us is starting to have real resonance inside government. And that can only create a positive future. It's not going to happen overnight, but I certainly think that government agencies and ministers are very clear that disabled people need to be involved, and you know, so the challenge for the disability community is that we have to be able to respond to that. We need the capacity to do that. We need organisations like DPOs who are well funded to be able to do that. So I think the other final thing is that, you know, the country at the moment is in a period of big reform across a number of areas, and we've got the opportunity to add influence and be part of that. And I also think that we're in a stage in New Zealand where, you know, I guess post the events of 15 March, it's really brought into stark relief for the country about the need for us to be an inclusive country. And so I think all of those things mean we have an opportunity as a community to do great things together.
I think that's a really good note to end on. And for that, thank you very much, Porta Tesorio, the Disability Commissioner at the Human Rights Commission. And we hope to have you back on the program and hopefully in the studio at some point in the future.
Thanks, Chris.
Most certainly. And that was Porta Tesorio from the Human Rights Commission in Wellington speaking to us there about her role as the Disability Rights Commissioner for Aotearoa within the Commission. That brings the show to an end for today, and we will be back on air at around the beginning of November when we come back for our next fortnightly radio show. Until then, thank you very much for listening today, and we'll be back at the beginning of November with another edition of DPA Notable Radio. Take care and see you all then. Ka kite anō.
Disabled Persons Assembly is Aotearoa New Zealand's first pan-disability organisation, acting as the voice of all disabled people, whether the disability be physical, sensory, learning, psychosocial or age-related. Dunedin meetings are held on the second Wednesday of each month, and we can provide free transport assistance and a New Zealand Sign Language interpreter when required. If you'd like to know more, call Chris Ford on 476 7579 or 027 696 0872. And you'll find our national website at www.dpa.org.nz. Disabled Persons Assembly, a whole new attitude. Take ORFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on ORFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.